Spring turkey season is upon us, and don't be caught out in the woods without having Onyx Hunt on your phone. One feature Onyx has that is often overlooked for turkey hunting is their recent imagery filter with their elite memberships. This imagery is updated week to week, and it comes in extremely handy, especially when you're trying to find these gobble zones where these turkeys will go out in a high spot on a fresh clear cut and strut around all day long. Actually, I was just looking at it on Onyx where the timber company just came into Andrew's Club and did a very small clear cut along this creek. And I can see the high spots on the topographical map, but also I can see exactly where they mulch. And those are going to be hot spots for finding gobblers, especially mid-morning after they get off their hens, getting up on these little high spots in this fresh, small clear cut along the creek and strutting and gobbling all day long. If you want to give Onyx a try, you can actually download it for free, try it for 7 days. And if you decide to purchase, you can use the promo code Southern and save on your premium and elite memberships. So going into this turkey season, know where you stand with Onyx.
Look, y'all know we harp on it a lot. You need a good pair of binos. Yeah, I never hunted with binos until I was almost into my 20s. I never did it when I was a teenager or anything like that, or when I was a kid, we never had binos. And when I bought my first pair of Vortex binos, the first binos I ever purchased back in like 2015, it immediately made a huge difference for me, especially in the turkey woods. So give yourself the advantage of a good pair of binos this spring, whether you're looking for more of like an entry-level bino like the Vortex Diamondbacks or something really, really nice like the Razors. Vortex is going to have something for you. And hey, don't pay full price for it. Use our discount code at eurooptic.com. Use the code SGN10 to get a discount on any Vortex optics that you want to order. Again, that's eurooptic.com, code SGN10 to go get a discount on any Vortex product you order. If you live in the Gulf Coast region, you need to find yourself at the EcoWild Expo May 10th through the 12th in Mobile. It is the premier outdoor expo for the Gulf Coast region, and we're going to be there. We're going to have a booth. We're super excited about it. Can't wait to meet you guys that live down there. We absolutely love the Gulf Coast region, so to be a part of this show, we're super excited about. We're going to have past podcast guests there at our booth for you to talk to, guys who are relevant for your area, who you can talk to, you can pick their brain, you can joke with them, laugh with them, tell them your story, whatever you want to do. It's going to be an awesome time. We're already working on some past podcast guests, but hey, if you live in this area and you have a suggestion for someone you want to see at that show, write in and we'll see if we can get them. There's going to be all kinds of exhibitors at the show that are focused on hunting, fishing, conservation, and recreation. There's going to be activities for the whole family there. They got axe throwing, archery. They're going to have our podcast booth. And then for the kids, they got touch tanks, a honeybee exhibition, a raptor show, kids fishing tank, BB gun range, and a butterfly house. So you're going to love it. Your kids are going to love it. It's going to be an awesome time. So head on over to ecowildexpo.com to get more information on the show and to go ahead and grab your tickets. And hey, mark it on your calendar. May 10th through the 12th. Be there. We want to see you and we're excited to talk to you. So we'll see you at the EcoWild Expo this May 10th through the 12th at the Mobile Convention Center in Mobile, Alabama.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to another outro for the Southern Outdoorsman Podcast. We've got a lot of ground to cover on this one. I'm sitting here with none other than the Ginger Bow Hunter, sitting here with his brand new little Glock he just bought. Jacob, how are you doing over there?
Oh, great, and that's gonna deter some people. Some people are like, Glock, man.
Yeah.
You got guys that love them, you got man, guys yeah, that hate them.
You bought a gun that your puppy's going to chew up and you can't use it anymore. Pepper's going to get a hold of that thing. No, dude, I like that little gun, man.
Glock 43, dude.
Yeah, it's a comfortable little carry gun. Mm-hmm. I need me a new carry gun. So, well, we got a lot to cover this week. We're still in this weird funk where we've recorded a bunch of
really good episodes ahead of time and haven't dropped them yet, but they're in our heads. And so I like want to talk about them, but we really can't talk about them much.
That we can't.
The one, I'll say this, the one coming out on Monday, and I'm saying this for the Patreon members especially, the one coming out Monday, and actually the next two coming out, we're focusing a lot on what we coined the term, I guess, or the guys that we interviewed coined the term buck hubs. And the buck hub has to do with basically travel routes where deer are coming from, or specifically bucks coming from multiple directions, coming to this one spot. It's really, really interesting. Y'all are going to hear all about that on Monday, but if you're a Patreon member, actually the day that this drops, I'm going to record a video where I'm going to get on a topo map and I'm going to try to point out what we talk about in these next two episodes when it comes to buck hubs. I'm going to get on there. I'm going to try to point out the terrain features that they're specifically talking about here and kind of explain it in depth. So you Patreon members can actually go watch that and have that kind of in your brain as we release these two episodes. So you'll actually be able to listen to that episode with that video in reference. So as we're talking, you're going to understand it a lot better. The day that this drops, I'm actually recording that. I'm going to try to have it out today as well, probably by the afternoon. But yeah, that y'all Patreon members, you'll be looking for that. On Patreon, I actually did the same thing with turkey episodes a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. I did one on gobbling knobs and secondary ridges.
Which might should be the term knobs.
Apparently, we've been getting a little bit of slack for that. Well, you know, to explain that?
It makes sense. When you Google what a knob is, it's not what we're talking about. We've had some.
I don't trust Google at all. I don't trust Google, man, because it's all regional. It's all regional dialect.
No, it is regional, but like so regional where we talk about a knob is like a slight little subtle point coming off a little ridge, not really a secondary point, just a slight little like a knob. Well, in a lot of other parts of the country where it's like more flatland, a knob is like a little rise, like in a flatland. So it might be, you know, like this little, it's a little knob. It's like a little elevation, like a little.
Yeah,
like a
little but hill. They also call like a 4 foot elevation a ridge, you know, like.
That's, you know, it's all where you're at.
It's all regional. But yeah, nobody's wrong. It's just regional.
But, you know, it's a regional dialect. Our knobs are not what a lot of other people would call a knob.
Yeah.
Come to find out.
So I'm going to keep using the term, dadgummit.
Just to confuse everybody.
Well, if you join our Patreon and you go watch the video, you won't be confused anymore. I explain exactly what I'm talking about.
That's an excellent point.
So, yeah, in that particular video, I went on there and pointed out a couple of goblin knobs and a secondary ridge point that had several knobs coming off of it that, like, if I was going to go turkey hunt this area, look really good. And I kind of break that down and not just really from my perspective, because like I'm an okay turkey hunter, but talking about from like Mike Pentecost, Devin Duncan, other guys like that who we've interviewed, the kind of stuff they've talked about, I try to work that into the video a lot of like, hey, when they say this, this is what they're talking about. So we're going to be doing the same thing with deer stuff. So y'all be looking for that.
Did Devin, real quick, not to put Devin under the bus here, in his episode, would he call them knobs, his little pine? He called little pine knobs.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
Or was it a little pine point? I think he did call it a knob.
Oh, he might have.
I need to go back and listen to that.
Well, he was right about that, man. I'll tell you what.
But just us wanted to bring that up. I'll bet some other.
We're not the only ones.
Other guys using that same terminology. But
yeah.
But anyway, So that should come out again once this episode is posted and published within the same day. So that'll be super exciting. But on other words or other news, I guess you got. This past Monday's episode,
Adam Tucker.
Yeah, it was an interesting one, man. First off, listen. So Michael Perry called me. He's like, Jacob, I need you to grunt like that old boy from that podcast. I'm like, dude, I can't. I'm like, dude, that guy, like Adam, can. Dude, he's grunting. Dude, because Perry called. Michael Perry called me. We were talking about it. And he's like, man. He's like, you know. He's like, that dude was spot on. Like that sound. He's like, I've heard that big buck do the same thing. It's, you know.
It's almost like a, it's like click. A click.
It's like a click.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some pretty good videos out there on that too, by the way.
Yeah, to kind of go and watch and check that stuff out.
I think it's Management Advantage or somebody has one of them, but it's probably one of the better ones I've seen. It's like a snort wheeze video and he's got some grunts on there. And the buck is walking through there and he's doing that where it's like a one note of like a grunt, like clicks. And it's cool. It's really cool to watch. Mm-hmm. Not something you hear a lot.
No, not at all. But anyways, super interesting. And definitely dude's a full-out woodsman. But it was cool to kind of get that guy's perspective. Like, you know, he's driving 3.5 hours to go hunt a place that has lower deer densities than the area around him, but it's just an area that he has a passion for hunting, which I found just super interesting. I mean, again, it seems like a lot of these guys, once they get into like mountain hunting, like they do anything they can to like stay and hunt that stuff.
Yeah.
So not like they're leaving it for, because, you know, just figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's come to find out after, you know, some of these other episodes that we've recorded.
Same for some of these other guys.
Yeah. It's like same for some of these other guys. Like, hey, something about those, you know, more mountainous areas that it seems like you can get a really interesting pattern on these deer. And once you start mapping it out, you can start looking at a map and be like, I bet you not only is a buck probably bedded here, but he's probably coming through this, you know, as we talk about on Monday's episode, this buck hub, which when we say that term buck hub, it's like, you know, we talk about hubs in other places. Like
it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. It's actually very different. And let me just say, you're not going to want to miss Monday's episode. Just trust me. You're not going to want to miss it.
Michael said it's the best one we've ever done.
By 150%. Michael Pike.
Michael Pike said that.
Yep.
So I'm excited. I'm excited for people to hear that, man.
Yep. No, not really needs any hype, because when it comes out, I think it's going to be very well received. But Adam, dude, was a wealth of knowledge. Just kind of talking about, you know, how he hunts, you know, what he calls funnels up there is definitely a lot more saddles and stuff, it seems like. Hunting big secondary ridge points and kind of like keying in on the rhododendron. And also he talked about ivy a whole bunch. And actually Paul Buterra was like messaging me back and forth about, like, he's like, I'm pretty sure he's talking about some of his English ivy and stuff, like not only just rhododendron.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was super interesting to see how he's keying in on some of these other kind of like food sources that's played a factor for him up there.
Yeah. And we forgot to talk about this on the show, but in my conversations I was having with him before we got him on the show, he was talking about watching bucks get to like a blow down laurel thicket and get on their like bellies and crawl through stuff, like get into just this like super thick cover, like really interesting stuff. He had just a ton of insight. And especially on bears too. He's a big bear hunter. So, we'll probably do a bear episode or two this year. Might have him back on for that. But, having these mountain guys on here lately has been fun, and we've been talking about it a bunch, but now we finally got our own experience to talk about going and scouting. So we got a little bit of firsthand knowledge finally of going out there, and not firsthand knowledge, but just experience of actually going out and trying to apply this stuff. And now we can talk about it, because we actually, you know, got to go do a little scouting. We've been pretty busy lately. Haven't been doing a lot of stuff in the woods, but do you want to jump right into that?
Yeah, absolutely. So like traditional Andrew fashion, you know, comes to May and he's like, all right, we're gonna go try a different piece of buck land this year. This is like 2 or 3 years in a row, I think, this has happened. And
I'm not gonna deny that.
Yeah, so we're like, all right, well, let's drive, you know, multiple hours.
Let's see, Jacob was he was kind of blowing it off a little bit. He was like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I got you to go with me.
Yeah. So like, you know, he talked about this area, this piece of public land. He said, man, I think there's some big deer there. Blah 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 blah. You know. Pretty tough access, the whole 9 yards. I'm like, okay, dude. So we actually drove over there a while back when we were doing a podcast episode with an individual. And right, okay, you know, this looks interesting. Well, let's come back here and scout. And you're like, okay, let's go Saturday. I'm like, all right, let's do it. Kind of had a game plan. You sent me some, you know, you sent me kind of the area that you wanted to look at. And I started looking at the pins. I'm like, okay, I'm finding some pretty interesting terrain. This is a lot more mountainous, a lot more steep, big elevation change. Very different from what we're
nasty
used to
stuff.
Hunt. And, it's just very different terrain. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is going to be interesting. Kind of hunting more, a little bit more kind of the big wood side of everything. And just a lot more rugged terrain. And, you know, we get out there and we're like, okay, well, let's see what we're going to do. And I think we did, you know, we hiked, that's a jump too far ahead. I think it was 7.5 miles.
Yeah. 7.6.
And just over after the whole hike, the whole scout, just over about 2,200 feet of elevation gain.
Yep.
And about 2,000 foot of elevation loss during the whole scout.
Yep.
Which, you know, if you're in Alabama, that's pretty.
That's a lot for us, man.
I'm like, dude.
There's probably some other guys in other places who are like, eh.
Oh, yeah. A lot of these guys, like, even from Virginia or whatever, they're laughing.
That's a ton for Alabama.
They're like, oh, dude, that's nothing. But no, it was pretty intense. I'm not going to lie. But the interesting aspect was, like, we're going to an area, it's not necessarily known for like crazy high deer numbers. And we get in there and it was like null and void of any sign until we get to a mountain laurel thicket.
Yeah. So we started the hike up, and I mean, we were staying on the trail for most of the way getting in there. And we got up into this higher stuff that we wanted to look at, where these some of this nastier, steeper terrain was mountain laurel thickets, and we finally get up to a certain level, and we get to that first interesting feature that we were looking at, which is just, I don't know, how would you describe that?
The first interesting feature.
A knob, where we got off the trail, we dropped our packs, and...
Oh, no, it was just a secondary ridge point coming off, yeah. Like the main, like there was a, like a main, a big, tall main ridge, and there was a for the area, I'd say it's a decent size secondary ridge. For some areas, it'd be a really large secondary ridge. But a secondary ridge point that came off this main ridge, you know, a couple hundred feet below it. And actually, I don't know, maybe 400 feet. I don't know. It was a good bit below.
Yeah. It's but, pretty far
but
down.
But it came off and had a creek to one side of it. And then, you know, the kind of trail kind of wrapped around it. And, you know, we dropped the packs. Man, I'm going to check up here on top of this because we're in a mountain laurel thicket at the time.
Yeah.
A big over, like, that big, mature, old-growth mountain laurel where, like, it's like you can walk underneath it and, like, you don't even have to, like, hunch over. Like, it's all shaded out.
You can crouch down and see all underneath
it. Yeah.
You know? It's like a little miniature
and
canopy.
I told you, I'm like, dude, I was looking up on the ridge, like, up above off the trail. I'm like, I bet you there's a deer trail up there. Like, I bet you. So, we dropped the packs and whatever. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go up there. So, I run up the hill and get up there. And the second I get on the edge of that mountain laurel thicket, probably 30, 40 yards from where I dropped the pack, I'm like, here's a trail, like a little faint trail. I'm like, okay, cool. I start kind of falling along. And we kind of start working our way down the edge of the mountain laurel thicket. Like, okay, we're finding more, like a little bit more sign, little rub, stuff like that. And, you know, I think that was one thing we were kind of worried about in an area like this. Like, man, are we going to find like rubs
anything
or scrapes
or,
you know, how is everyone going to find tracks and stuff like that? Because you don't really know in an area that's, again, just not known for like super high deer numbers. And, right off the bat, we're like, okay, well, here we are. You know, we're, mm-hmm. you know, a mile and a half in, and we're finding deer sign. So, because it got really interesting because we get to the point where you're walking through the middle of the mountain laurel, and I was on the edge of it. And I'm like, again, cutting a couple decent trails. And you're like, oh, hey, let's go back and grab our packs. Because, like, we're starting to get kind of, you know, far from the packs, working up the ridge, up the mountain. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'll meet you back at the packs. Well, the second I turn and like you drop back off, I try to call your name because I look up the hill, I see a big rub. or it looks to me like a big rub. And I'm like, Andrew. And like there was a water coming through, and, like there was no way, I guess you could hear me. And I'm like, all right, whatever. So like I started just going straight up the ridge, like straight up on top of the ridge. And as I was going up, it's like a big, like a mix of like short leaf pines and some long leaf pines, but a lot of short leaf pines. And it opened up, and I just see this one pine tree that was just shredded. I mean, you know, like 3.5 foot tall, which for around here is, you know, pretty tall. Completely shredded. I'm like, man, I'm like, heck yeah.
Like where you can tell he's got a little bit of trash on the bases.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, he's really, you know, jacking this tree up. And I'm like, all right, cool. Because, again, not really knowing what to expect. I'm like, this mm-hmm. is pretty interesting, just kind of where the sign's at, kind of paralleling these trails. And I just walk a little bit further. And I've been thinking, by the way, before going out there, because I'm thinking about this Wyoming trip we're going to go on, hunting, like, sage grouse and sharp-tailed grouse. And it, all of a sudden, this thing flies up out like, so there's a lot of blueberry bushes where we're at.
Yeah.
Or what's it called?
Elderman's?
Elderman's blueberries,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So like they're that. All like knee-high. Like mm-hmm. this whole area is like covering them. And this thing, this bird flies up. And instantly I'm like, oh, there's a grouse. Is that what we were talking about earlier? I'm like, dude, you know, supposedly, you know, rough grouse is on... when you look at Alabama like species, it shows rough grouse and there's no open season for them. Mm-hmm. So clearly there's got to be some here for them to even like,
I've heard of people jumping some before.
So like this bird comes up and the first thing I'm like, dang, that's a big rough grouse. And I'm like, oh, that's a hen turkey. And she like pitches up, flies away. And I'm like, I bet you she's on a nest. And I just like tiptoed forward and like got like 8-10 yards from like where she'd gotten up. I looked over. I can see there's like 4 eggs there. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like, I'm not
back
gonna,
out.
You're not going to get any closer, leaving it scent there. And for predators. Anyways.
The thought being you don't want a predator to basically track you like to the nest.
Like a curiosity thing. Yeah, because a lot of people talk about that. If you walk up to a nest, it's like you're attracting predators that like are like tracking you, which mm-hmm. I feel like happens quite often. Like for whatever, a coon or mm-hmm. coyote, whatever. Just like hits that.
They're just hitting that scent trail. Like, it's just like it's just different. Like your dog.
Yeah, it's like it's different. And anyways, tracking all the way up, and they're like, "Oh, well, here's eggs. Great, I'm gonna eat them." So anyways, I stayed as far away as I could from them. Started working back down the ridge point, like walking down towards the ridge point where kind of the packs were at, and I'm like, "Dude, like rub, 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 scrape. Oh man, it's a good looking scrape here. I'm like dropping pins and I get my track on Onyx and I'm like kind of keep on easing. I'm like, man, this looks awesome. Finally, it's like 25 minutes later, I show up and you're like, dude, where the hell have you been?
Oh, yeah. I was sitting at the PAX waiting on you. I was eating a granola bar.
I know. Andrew trying to fatten up, man.
I was like, where did he go? He told me to go back to the PAX.
Anyways, I was like, man, I found some sign. And we went back up there, and it was cool, dude. I mean, we found, you know.
Two or three scrapes.
I mean, explain, how is it set up, habitat-wise, and, how those bucks are, using that area. Because it's kind of interesting, because it's not, extremely thick, but also it's got the security factor. Like, you get, the mountain laurel down low, where there's a trail, a hiking trail at.
Yep.
And, way up, up above it, it's, they've got, all this area that they can kind of see stuff from a distance, but also I feel like when they're going through, there's enough sapling trees and smaller trees that kind of add a little bit more kind of a obstruction to their movement.
Yeah. There's a mountain laurel kind of on the side slope and it goes up. And when you get to the top of that secondary ridge, you have just a more open terrain. It's more hard. It's pine hardwood mix and it's pretty open. I mean, you can see way through it right now in the growing season. It's probably very, very open in the fall, but they're just kind of traversing the edge of that mountain laurel and they're popping up within 50 yards of the edge or so. You'll find scrapes there and finding rubs and everything, and found a couple faint trails, some of them parallel in the mountain laurel, some of them cutting out above it, cutting straight across the draw where this little draw kind of goes up that secondary ridge point. And right where the mountain laurel ends, the tip of the draw, there's a trail cutting across the tip of that draw, where they're just trying to basically go around the top of it rather than drop way down in it and come way back up. They swing around the top. And that was actually the most impressive trail that I saw. And we fanned out and you took the bottom and then I took the top and I literally just zigzagged back and forth the whole ridge top, just looking for sign. And there was some sign up there. I mean, there was rubs, not like what we're used to. Like at all, the places that we normally hunt, we hunt some pretty high deer density areas. And I don't know, just where we're used to hunting, you get on a ridge like that that's got deer on it, you're going to find 15, 20 rubs a lot of times. Up there, there was 10, maybe something like that. Two scrapes in very close proximity to each other. Not overly impressive scrapes, I don't know.
To be honest, you had to kind of look for them.
You really had to look for them.
You're this looks like there should be a scrape. And then you look down oh, yeah, there's...
There's an indention in the ground.
Yeah, you
see... Full pine straw.
Yeah, you can see where they had kicked it out in the fall.
Yeah, and it's covered up, but the licking branches... And after talking to a couple of these mountain guys and listening to what they have to say, the licking branch is apparently a lot more important than what's on the ground. So you might have a scrape that's, I don't know, 2 feet across. But if that licking branch, if it's the right kind of licking branch, which you'll have to listen to these next couple episodes to find out about, that could be that big community scrape that you're looking for, which I think I might have found a good scrape to put a camera on. But anyways, that was kind of that ridge. Me and you met back up, and the secondary ridge point kind of goes down, and where it comes to the actual point, It's like a very steep sudden drop off at that point. When you get to the point, I mean, it drops straight down. I mean, way down this valley, and it's bluffed out and there's mountain laurel and it's just super nasty. So we're like, okay, let's work this point. So we go work that point.
Oh, you're really jumping ahead.
Well, what'd you find?
I'm just saying from the dust bowl and all that kind of stuff from the turkeys.
Oh, yeah, we did find a little dust bowl up there.
But we had moved across this big, what we call a landscape satellite, where the secondary ridge point came off. There was a low spot from the creek drainage on the left-hand side to the west side. And then there was another drainage, 400 yards or so to the 300 yards. To the east.
Surprising lack of sign in that satellite.
Yeah, it was big. There's it seemed like there was a mix of white oak, red oaks, or mountain oaks. A mix of different things right there. And just very little sign.
I thought, looking at the map, I was like, when we get to that saddle, I bet it's going to be lit up.
Yep.
And looking back, I don't think I covered it very well. I think I should have walked it a little better. But because just knowing what I know now about the area, you really have to look for that sign. It's not like where we normally hunt, where, you just kind of quick scan, you're like, oh, rub, 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 rub. There's a scrape.
Yep.
You really got to look for the sign up in there. So I feel like I didn't really do that saddle justice, but just from giving it like a once over, there was really like nothing in there. There was one scrape kind of right at the base of it, that I found that, again, just a small scrape. The licking branch wasn't very impressive. It wasn't broken or anything, but it was definitely a scrape. And that was the only buck sign I saw on it.
Yeah. Well, we come across and, go to the other side of, this other, so that this big ridge point has like another like protruding little point that comes off it. And we started working that way. And it's like instantly, dude, you're off the little trail and instantly started getting into like, oh, here's a rub. Oh, here's a rub.
Good rubs.
Oh, there's some big rubs right here, dude. Oh man, there's a scrape like right in this one little spot. And started kind of easing our way towards like the drop off. Which is kind of where you were getting to, where it gets real steep and there's a bunch of mountain laurel right there.
Yeah.
And it's like, I start going through the mountain laurel. I'm like, yeah, there's all kinds of sign. Like, and then like going, because it's like, this mountain laurel was very different from the other stuff we'd gone through, because the other stuff earlier on was like big, like old growth mountain laurel, where it's like tall. Like you can pretty much go up underneath it, like barely hunch over, and you can like shoot through it. You can see all the way through it. This other stuff was like kind of more dead or like
patchy.
Like you can tell maybe like a fire had gone through here, whatever. That's what I think Paul was talking. We talked to Paul about this, and he had mentioned potentially, you know, maybe a fire had gone through it. Something it killed it back, and it's like way more shrubby. Like you're not going through it. Like it's just like it's patchy where you can like walk your way around them. I was down there messing with that stuff. I was like, man, there's some good trails in here. And all of a sudden, you're like, hey, dude, I got some beds up here. I'm like, what? And we come up there, and there's like three or four really good beds on this point next to this blowdown. And I'm like, instantly, like looking at it, you're like, man, this is doe beds, buck beds. I'm like, dude, looking at it, I'm like, I feel like it's got to be a bachelor group or a buck that's just trying to reposition all within about 10 to 15 yard area based off, like,
yeah,
however he wants to lay on this point.
Yeah. And right before that point, so that where you're talking about is right there on the end. Right before you get to the end, there's a little bitty, like, micro saddle, little saddle.
Low spot.
Yeah, it's just a low spot. And right there in that low spot, there was a scrape that wasn't that impressive. Again, I mean, it's like barely, it's like two basketballs is like the size of the scrape. But the licking branch is like the size of my thumb, the main licking branch. And then there's a couple that are like the size of my pinky. And they're all busted and twisted off. The tree that the licking branch is coming off of is rubbed. And it just, I don't know, it looks interesting. And so I was like, okay, that's probably a place, especially looking now, where I'd probably put a camera just to like kind of see what those deer are looking like. But, and then you go a little bit further and you come up out of that little low spot and you get on the actual point itself. And that's where those beds were. Mm-hmm. And it was classic. Right there on the point, up against the blowdown, like, boom, you got four beds. Big old beds that are sunken in, hair in them and everything.
There's a rub next. There's rub like adjacent
to them. Yeah, there's rubs adjacent to them. There's a scrape adjacent to them. There's a smaller scrape right next to where we ate lunch. And then Boone ran over there and took a dump in one of the beds, which is always great. just great. We turn around. We're like, where's Boone? And we turn around and he's just squatted right in one of the main beds. I was like, well, that can't be good.
Yeah, no. But again, it was like, I'm like, okay, this is like looking really interesting. Plus, like, one thing I liked about that ridge point is the laurel wasn't on the point. It was just off it. Like, as you hit that military crest, as it started dropping off, that's where the mountain laurel started. And it was kind of running along the ridge. And then it kind of like dropped off the point. I'm like, this is a pretty interesting spot. I was looking at it for maybe like talking like rut hunting or something. Like, where you're trying to, like, maybe there's does. This is what I was looking at the time. Now, maybe I look a little bit differently after doing this whole scouting trip. But at the time, I'm like, man, maybe there's some does bedded in there, potentially during the rut.
Mm-hmm.
East facing slope, upward rising thermal. I'm like, dude, if you slipped in here on a morning hunt and got it where you could like climb a tree looking down off that ridge point and like watch the edge of those mountain laurels, both directions, both like to the east and also to like the southwest or whatever.
Yeah.
And like watch that whole line. I'm like, man, I think you could do really, really good right here. Mm-hmm. And that's when we were like, okay, well, hey, you know, we're in this one spot. Well, hey, let's look across that drainage. We're going over there to that, because he had a specific ridge he wanted to get to, and it was across this big drainage. And I'm like, we're standing there. And this is like one of those things, like coming from like subtle hill country, like where like we're normally where we like have hunted at, is like 100 foot elevation change is like significant.
Yeah, definitely. That's like a big hill.
That's super significant. We get out here and it's like, okay, we got to drop
600
like between 450 and 600 feet down, depending on like what path we take. Down, lose elevation, and then come up at least 500 to 600 feet up the other side.
And I'm looking across, and I felt like I was in Arkansas again, like where I was hunting in Arkansas. Yeah. And I'm like, it was very intimidating. Like, for real, at the time, this is, like, super intimidating. Like, dude, like, how are we going to get across there? And then, like, we start doing it, and I'm not trying to jump ahead, but we get doing it and come up the other side. And I get them really jumping ahead here. But, like, I'm like, that wasn't too bad. Like, it took some time.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of pace yourself.
But, like, don't run up the side of the dang hill.
No, not at all. But, like, again, at the time, I was like, dude, this is going to suck. But, anyways, it was pretty sweet because we started working our way down that ridge. Off this point, and what we were going to originally, we were going to drop right off the point, but we couldn't, or we decided not to, because there's mountain laurel all right there on the other side. It looked like it was bluffed out on the maps, and they're yeah. like, okay, like, not only are we probably going to get caught up in like a younger mountain laurel thicket where it's going to be like impenetrable to get through, but also it's bluffed out on the other side, so we're still going to have to circle downhill, you know, down the creek and come up the other side.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's just bail off like the side of this point. Side hill down, kind of fall on the edge of the mountain laurel downhill, and then get to a certain elevation point, and then drop straight down to the creek, go straight down, and try to come up the other side. And that's kind of what we did. And again, didn't find out. I mean, we found, you know, some rubs and stuff, but nothing too crazy.
Well, I'll say that you know, that point, that was the highest concentration assigned so far, right around those beds. That whole ridge side had rubs all over it. I mean,
yeah,
from pretty much wherever you were standing, you could look around and find a rub, which is pretty significant for like what we had been through. Then of course you had the beds, and then you had some significant scrapes, but also just standing up there looking around, there's deer tracks in the pine straw all over the place, mm-hmm. little punch holes. And you can see all deer tracks all over the place. Actually, before we found the scrape or anything, I dropped a pin, and just in the description on Onyx, I just put like tons of deer tracks in here right now, like fresh deer tracks all over the place. And that was the first place that we'd found that so far. And then when we start losing elevation to try to get to this other point, we're essentially just trying to cross this gorge and get back on the same elevation that we were on. And we start dropping way down, and we're working the edge of this mountain laurel. We start dropping down, and the deer sign just kind of evaporates.
Oh, 100%.
Very little deer sign going down that. I thought that we were going to be finding big old freaking rubs coming right out of these edges.
Down the creek or stuff, or just down the edge?
Yeah, down the edge, down in the creek. Very little deer sign. We did find some rubs, but very few.
Not down on the creek. It was like higher up.
Yeah.
When we were going down, like, okay, and they were like real like small. Just
more on the side slope.
Yeah, real small. Like, you're like, okay, this isn't very impressive. But yeah, you get to a certain elevation downhill, you're like, dude, there's no deer sign at all. No trails, no tracks, droppings, rubs, scrapes, nothing.
Nothing.
And then we drop down into this freaking little hellhole of a creek, freaking slipping and sliding.
Sliding down the hill.
Yeah, down the hill. Get down there, cross that side. Found a colony of freaking mosquitoes that looked like they wanted to carry you away while we were down there, freaking down there chilling for a second. But one thing we can talk about that was really interesting was throughout this day, like up on like the mountain or up on like these mountains, talking about like it was overcast earlier. It was like so cool. The sun kind of came up when we were going down the hill. Like, okay, it's starting to get like, you know.
Starting to warm up.
Starting to warm up. But when we get down in that creek, and the second we hit that mountain where we were down in the water, it's like 15-degree temperature change.
When you think turkey calls, think of Houndstooth. Houndstooth Game Calls is a company based right here in Alabama, actually based out of Tuscaloosa, and they have been making some of our favorite turkey calls since 2012. Y'all head on over to their website, see what they got. They got a little something for everybody. They have a huge selection of different mouth calls, different cuts, different reed configurations. I like to go on there and get 5 or 6 different mouth calls and just run them, see which ones I like the most. You know, some days I might like the KB Hen, some days I might like the Ghost Cut. Some situations I might like the Country Girl call, you know, that I can cut on really hard, where on other situations I might like the All Pro that I can get a little bit softer on. Bottom line, there's something for everybody and something for every situation. And hey, you can get 15% off of your order at Houndstooth Game Calls by using the promo code SOP24. That's SOP24. Use that promo code. It'll get you a discount and it helps out the podcast.
Well, and the cool thing too, it was like low 70s that day that we went was the high. Very comparable to a lot of like Alabama season. I mean, at least October, November, it's not unusual to get like a day where the high is like right there around 70. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty realistic for what we'll probably end up be hunting in this fall. And man, you hit that creek bottom and it's like someone opened a fridge upstream.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you get like, no joke, we get to a point where like, I'm like, dude, I'm kind of chilly. Like, yeah, yeah. As you're getting all sweaty and stuff, and you're like, dude, I kind of wish I would have. You're like, I kind of wish I would have had a long sleeve shirt on today.
Mm-hmm.
But it was super cool. But again, that the weird thing was, I was thinking like, man, if it's so cool down here, like you'd see like tracks or something. Like, hey, because if I was a deer, dude, I'd sit down there too, man.
Yeah,
nice and cool. But come with what we found out later after doing a podcast episode, we're like, okay, maybe it's not the greatest spot to chill at when it comes to like being ambushed on and everything else and exit trails. But then we come through there, come to the other side, start getting up on this next little, I almost want to say knob, but next little side ridge. And I'm like, man, I smell a deer. Like, I smell a buck right now.
Oh, yeah. We hit that thing.
Hit you like a freaking.
I mean, smacked you right in the face.
Smacked you. And you're like, okay. And the problem was the wind was kind of swirled right there, and I couldn't tell which way the smell was. I was like, is it back behind us, like down the creek bottom? Is it like up this next little drainage or up the ridge? I couldn't tell, but you could definitely, you know, smell that. Hey, there's like a deer in here, probably bedded, like probably was bedded fairly close, and you could like just smell like the urine and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dang. I'm like, okay. Well, clearly, like it would make sense, like being somewhere down here, kind of chilling out, a little cooler temperatures and everything else. But we start doing this death march up this freaking ridge. And interesting fact, when we were going up this ridge, it's something we can talk about, is on this ridge, something that we noticed, there was a couple of trails that we noticed that were going straight up and over the top of this ridge, like going straight up.
Yeah.
Like it was deer trail. And you'd find scrapes, and Andrew, you can talk about this, every so often going up off this trail. And when you found this scrape, there'd be a paralleling trail that would be paralleling this ridge, like side hilling around the ridge that would meet right there where that scrape was at.
Yeah, and that scrape, too, we found, I think, three of them.
Yep.
All three of them, the scrape was, like, in the trail. Like, they made the scrape right on top of the trail. And part of that, I think, is actually just because there was, like, not very many licking branches in there, and they just happened to have one in that spot, and they made that scrape right on top of that deer trail. But yeah, that trail going straight up the side of the ridge. I mean, like, you're walking in that trail, you're going straight up the hill. And then you hit one of those scrapes and you kind of look to the side and there's little faint trails that are side hilling around.
Yeah.
And that was interesting. And we kept going up. And then you brought up that some of these mountain hunter guys that we've talked to will say those does, they're going straight up, straight up and down, and the bucks are going around and around. So that's exactly what we saw, I guess, was. You have this trail going straight up and down, pretty heavy for the area. Now, I wouldn't consider it a heavy trail at all compared to what I'm used to. But for the area, it's one of the heavier trails we've seen going straight up and down. And then you got little faint trails with buck sign on them, cutting around, paralleling and intersecting them. And where they intersect, boom, you got a scrape.
And when we say parallel, not paralleling the trail going up and down, but paralleling the ridge.
Yes, 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 yes. So coming around the side of the ridge.
It's like they're working a certain topo line.
Yeah.
And they're just coming around this long ridge.
Yeah. And so, it's kind of like how guys will talk about with field edges and stuff. You'll find scrapes on field edges where you got those big walled out trails going out of the fields, those doe trails, and boom, you got a scrape right there. Well, the buck's not necessarily walking that big walled out trail. He's cutting across them, checking them. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the same principle up there in the mountain. So that was kind of fun to see. That's not something I've really seen before. And again, just I can't stress enough like how different the sign is, the trails, the rubs, the scrapes, just so much less than what I'm used to. We continued up the side of the ridge, a lot of mountain oaks up there. And just from people who I've talked to, a lot of people say those mountain oaks aren't highly preferred by the deer. And definitely when we were in those mountain oaks, we were just seeing like a lack of general sign. Mm-hmm. There wasn't as much sign there. Not as many rubs or tracks or anything like that. Lots of turkey scratching, but from the previous fall. But that was pretty much it. And then we make it to the very, very top of that ridge. Big, long ridge, like secondary ridge coming down. We hit the top, and I remember I was like, yeah, we made it to the top. And you're like, man, this looks okay. You're like, you were unimpressed with.
Oh, I was like, no, I was thinking like, this sucks though. There is no sign here.
Oh, it was open, you know.
No, it was open, and also it was like, and I kind of guess I was looking at this on the map. Like, I'm one of those people like, there's something about a ridge, like it's a really like a more like slimmer ridge, as you could say. Something about like a wider ridge, like you'll have deer, you know, sometimes you'll have deer on top, but you have a lot of deer on those edges. But like this is like a real, you know, at certain points it was a fairly thin ridge. And like we get up there and I'm like, there's nothing on top. Like it's just pines up top. Like there's nothing here. There's no sign. It doesn't make sense for them to be on top. And it like made it was making more and more sense to me that, hey, deer can be off the edge. But then as we started walking around there, I'm like, well, on the south side, it's like mixed hardwoods, like in some pines, but mostly mixed hardwoods. Well, on the other side, like the north side of this little ridge, or this secondary ridge, is mountain laurel. And the mountain laurel came very close to the top. And I'm like, okay, this makes now more sense. If the does are coming straight up from the south, going over the top of this ridge, going to like these mountain laurels to the north, and betting that these bucks would parallel, well, maybe we should like not focus so much on the south side of the ridge, just focus on the north side of the ridge.
Yep.
And like start walking that edge and start seeing like, hey, are we finding any scrapes here or rubs or anything? And we started kind of getting to some of that sign, you know, some scrapes, you know, with some good looking branches, some rubs, and then got to the point where I was like, dude, we need, like, you got to one point, like, dude, you know, we're walking up this ridge and like, hey, let's like hit this subtle little drainage up here, like this little low spot coming off the side of the ridge, and let's hit that and go back down and kind of like scout back down below us.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I'm like, right before that, I'm like, well, let's go over here and check out the north side one more time, like farther up where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And we come up and like start easing down, and the mountain laurel was like lower, like farther below us, which was kind of interesting. It wasn't so close to the top. It was probably,
yeah,
you know, like 60 maybe yards from the very top.
Yeah.
It's kind of where it's at.
And the pines kind of spill over the top of the ridge, and the pines go down and hit that mountain laurel. So yeah, you got like a pine mountain laurel edge, which is interesting.
And like, when we
that's what initially grabbed my attention about that spot.
Yeah, and like we came up the edge, and like you had to like keep walking off the edge. It wasn't like you could stand on the edge of the ridge and like look down and like see the mountain laurel. Like you had to keep on easing over, easing over. And we finally ease over like 20 yards off the top. And I'm like, man, like this looks really good. I'm like, there's this big rock structure down. Let's go up to this rock structure. I get to that rock structure, and we like look down, and you're like, dude, I think there's a big rub down there. And I'm like, that's a really big rub. And we're standing there. I'm like, dude, this looks interesting, because like it was like a pocket where the mountain laurel didn't come up the ridge very far, like as high up, but it like wrapped up around it. So like we're like, you're almost like in a, like a an opening in the mountain laurel that's probably 50, 60 yards wide.
Yeah.
With mountain laurel farther below you, but then mountain laurel wrapped up to your left and wrapped up to your right, like all the way up to like where this rock formation was. And I'm like, man, this is a sweet little spot. Like,
yeah,
if a deer was coming through here and kind of working the edge of the mountain laurel, he'd come right through this big opening where you could set up on and like, you know, be able to get a good shot opportunity. And that's exactly right where these big rubs were at.
Yep. And what I would consider like a, well, I don't know. I don't know if you'd really consider it like a signpost. It's not like a huge tree or anything, but a tree that's clearly been rubbed multiple years in a row. And that's the rub that I saw. And when I looked down the hill and I went and walked down there, and sure enough, that tree had been rubbed multiple years in a row. Like, you've got the old scar tissue on there from where it was rubbed probably four years ago.
I don't know if you call it scar tissue. This is scarring.
Scarring on the tree.
Yeah.
You got that. But then on the outside, you still got the fresh rubs from this past season. And then you've got all these little stump sprouts around it that while the bucks were rubbing this particular tree, he busted all the other ones. And then you look down the hill and there's still two or three others going. There's a faint little trail coming out of the mountain laurel right there, and there's two or three rubs after that signpost that kind of go back down into that laurel, and it's just a neat little spot. It was kind of the only spot in there where you could, I feel like, get a good shot, because there's so much blowdown and dead stuff in there. It was a neat area, like rocks you can get in and hunt pretty easily. So again, it's just a spot that I feel like probably needs another scouting trip.
Oh, for sure.
And go in there and just pick it apart even more. Because mm-hmm. you think about it, we popped into that one little spot. We haven't really looked at it yet. And look upstream of there, there's better looking terrain features.
And by the way,
there,
by the time we got there, I think we had hit about 4.5 miles.
Maybe? 4.5, 5 miles, something like that.
That by the time we get to that one ridge, and we're like, oh my God. And that's like legit. Like, as in, like, yeah, you know, I was thinking, like, there's not many places in Alabama you can get over a mile. Well, there's some places in Alabama you can get like some big pieces of, you know, public land.
Oh yeah,
You know, management areas and like that you can get far. Like, and that was one of those things I'm like, dude, we are back here.
We are way far from the truck.
But you know, that's where we started getting to some better and better sign. So we kind of did that, kind of stopped, chilled out for a little bit, and then like, okay, let's go down this subtle drainage. And what I mean subtle, like you can see it on the map. And to be honest, like, I was looking at the map, and you're like, oh, yeah, let's go down here. I was looking, I'm like, man, that doesn't look I mean, it looks okay.
Ye of little faith.
It comes out in like a little hub down below, and it comes up to a bigger hub. I'm like, okay, it looks okay.
Itsy bitsy little thing.
And like, anyways, we start doing that. We start going down, and I mean, instantly, we just barely come off the top of the ridge. Like, oh, there's a rope. Oh, there's a rope. Oh, there's a rope. And it was like
I was right.
And it was like bing, bing, bing. Like you could tell the bucks. Like you couldn't. The problem is like you couldn't tell if the bucks were going again like up and down in elevation or they're side hilling. But it was like for some reason they were laying down sign within like a 50-yard wide span all the way down. And when you say a subtle drainage, I mean, it is so subtle. 90% of people, 95% of people look at that.
Would not even think of
this as a drainage.
Like barely see it on any mapping service. Because I've looked at it with like four different topo maps.
And when I mean subtle drainage, I don't mean like, oh, this is something that's like a couple of feet wide. It's like it's 60 to six, probably 60 yards wide.
Yeah.
Where it's just slightly steeper, more like it's just
if you look at the topo lines, it just I mean slightly makes little sway inwards, you know. I mean, hardly noticeable. It's not a ditch or anything like that. When you're standing in it, you can barely even see.
Oh, you just feel like you're on the side of the mountain, but that then you just like look left and right, like okay, it is like a very subtle little low spot going down the side of this ridge.
Yeah.
And due to all this buck sign was in there.
I mean, tore up from top to where we ended up. And so we start heading down and it's like rub, big rubs.
Yeah.
Fresh rubs from last year all over the place. And dude, we're getting fired up. Also, I'm like running down the hill.
Also, we got to a certain spot. We started finding whip rubs going down the hill. And that's exciting because a whip rub is like that early season velvet's coming
Explain
off.
A
whip rub is like when they're rubbing, at least that's our terminology. Some people might call it something different, but it's like a whip rub is when they're rubbing. A lot of times, like hardwood saplings. Sometimes you find it with pines, but a lot of times it's hardwood saplings. They're like no bigger around than your thumb.
Yeah.
Like they're small diameter. And what they're doing, they're like thrashing a couple things. I think some of it's to get the velvet off. Also, I think some of it's just kind of a little testosterone boost. They're not rubbing big trees. They're rubbing these real small, they're whip rubs.
Yeah.
And, you know, bucks of all sizes seems to do it. So, like, you can't tell, like, oh, it's a big deer or not. But, like, when you find them, to me, it's exciting when you find them and they're broken off.
Yep.
You get them broken off, they're like 18 inch off and they're snapped off the tops. And like, okay, well, he clearly was putting some effort into that and got, you know, twisted up in his rack and snapped it. But you'll start finding these whip rubs. And that's, again, something that happens around here, like in September, October timeframe, when they're like, their velvet's coming off. They're kind of splitting up in their other batch groups and they're doing these little whip rubs. And we start finding that going down the hill along with bigger rubs. I'm like, okay, there's definitely something here.
Yeah. Yeah. And hey, by the way, that reminded me, you know, them thrashing those little trees to get the velvet off. If you're ever walking through the woods and you just get covered up with like spider webs and you can't get them off of you, just grab you like a big handful of pine needles, like break you off a pine limb or something and just rub it on you. And that'll get the spider webs right off. So just want to let people know in case like people don't do that. Jacob's giving me a weird look right now. He's clearly never done that.
What the hell are you talking about, dude?
You get spider webs like all over you. They're like all up in your hair and everything.
I don't get no spider webs. I got a spider stick, bro.
Yeah,
don't you worry about it.
I always got a spider stick.
You saw me. I had a spider stick while we were out there.
You did have one for most of the time.
Yeah, man. I'm freaking packing a spider stick. If you don't know what a spider stick is, boy, you don't live in the South then.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So, yeah, we were working down this ridge, whip rubs, big rubs, you name it. And then we get down and I measured it. So there's a little hub. Okay. Like Jacob was saying, it's hardly noticeable on the map. When you are looking at this little drainage we're going down, you can barely even tell it's a drainage. There's another one that's a little bit more pronounced that's coming in from the side and they both meet in this one spot. And I'm like, that's just like the tiniest little most subtle hub. Let's just travel down. Cause we're already going downhill. So I'm like, let's just go on this little terrain feature I can see and just see what it looks like. And then we'll hit that little tiny hub and just, you know, we can check it off the map if there's nothing there. It was about 200 yards above where those two little bitty drainages come together. Mm-hmm. 200 yards above it, we look down and there's this great big longleaf pine growing on the side of the hill. And this is pretty steep. I mean, you're going down and it's a pretty steep hillside. Right on the back side of this longleaf pine is a nice little flat spot, and there is a mac daddy of a bed right there. I mean, a good one. Wore way down, sunk into the earth, fresh hair in it, like clearly been used a lot. Exit trails coming out of it, rubs around it. I mean, the whole nine yards. I mean, like textbook definition, like mountain buck bed, right? So we get up to it and start checking it out, and we're all excited. And there's actually like two or three beds there. There's one that's like kind of off the pines.
Oh, there's two. There's two beds.
So yeah, there's two beds there. One that was kind of off of those pines, and it's kind of, you know, by itself a little bit more in the open, where if you're in it, you can look around more and kind of see more stuff. And then there's one that's, I mean, right up against those pines
that you could tell hadn't been used in a while.
Yeah.
Because like the one, the main one we found, it was like pretty much down in the dirt was the bed.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell deer's using it a ton. And then you could look just down like 3 or 4 yards, and there's another bed there that now, after discussing with some other people, is probably more like a fall time bed when the leaves come off. Buck's still staying in the same area, but he's shifting his bed just a little bit, where he's got these big, he's got like one big pine tree to his back,
yeah,
like to his side, and he's got another big pine tree just out in front of him. Where like he's kind of like tucked in there. He can still see all around, but he has like that more like heavier structure next to him.
Yeah. He's right up against it.
Like a big old crappie sitting next to a pole.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So we're checking out this bed and everything, and we're standing in it and we're looking around, and he's got one exit trail with the rubs on it that's real nice, like big, heavy exit trail. And it's going towards that bigger drainage that we actually ended up not going to look at. But he's got one, again, just real nice trail going there. But he's got exit trails coming off like spokes of a wheel. He's got one going this way, one going that way, one going this way. And he's got like 4 or 5 little exit trails that he...
Entrance/exit, but yeah. Yeah,
entrance/exit. They're all definitely used frequently, just by how much he's using that bed. But one of them is more pronounced by far. And that's the one that had the buck sign on it. And...
like you're sitting in the bed and there's a rub, like a good rub.
Yeah.
6 yards from it, mm-hmm, on the trail facing the bed, where you can tell he's coming from the bed. He's walking down that trail. He's rubbing that tree and then walking past.
Yep, exactly. So we mark the bed and everything, of course, and continue down to the hub. And this is where, especially after y'all hear Monday's episode, what we should have done. Well, we were so far in there and everything. We need to go back and look at this spot again. But we hit that hub, and there's really just not much down there that we found. There's plenty of deer sign. There was deer tracks throughout the area, and turkey scratch and everything. A lot of mountain oaks. We spent time looking for like a red oak or a white oak or something different, and I didn't find any. And it was just kind of like, didn't look that good. That buck, he can almost see that hub from where he was, because he could see pretty far down the woods from where he was sitting. And in the fall, he could maybe see that hub way down there. But so we kind of just moved past that and we kind of wrote it off. And again, after this episode, y'all are going to hear on Monday, what we should have done is we should have started at that bed and started fanning out and find the other beds. Cause there should be a couple others around there, and like really pick that area apart and look at it. But we keep going down and we drop below that hub, and that hub essentially empties out into a bigger hub, like a bigger creek drainage. And down there on that bigger creek drainage, what do we find?
Dude, well, first off, we found some red oaks.
Yeah. That's the thing, man. Two big, great big red oaks.
Well, let's talk about this. So this area has a ton of mountain oaks, which a mountain oak is like a chestnut, like...
Yeah.
Like
I think it's a chestnut oak, not a swamp chestnut oak.
This is a really big acorn. It looks to me just like a swamp chestnut. Some people probably get upset with me for saying this. It looks very similar to a swamp chestnut oak.
It does. Huge, it looks just like one of those.
Huge acorn. And you're seeing them rotting all over the ground. Like, just ain't nothing touching
everywhere.
Them. Ain't nothing touching them. Other than maybe some turkeys. And we get to, and like we were talking previously, like, dude, I wonder if we can find a red oak or a white oak somewhere on the side of this big ridge, like higher up in elevation. I bet you it's going to be the ticket. I bet you, like, we were talking about, like, I bet you, like, you know, there's probably going to be some sign there. Like, we're probably going to find something different. And, dude, we just came right into that little hub and boom, like, I can't remember. Did we see that? I think we saw rubs first, and then we looked up, and there was a red oak.
Yep, that was it. So, actually, the very first thing we saw was a big deer trail going down in there, a big, impressive deer trail. And we were actually walking that deer trail, and it was covered up with tracks. And I was like, man, I think I might put a camera right here because they're traveling this so much right now. And then I think you look down the hill and peeling off that deer trail going down the drainage, you were like, oh, there's a rub right there. And so we start walking down towards that rub, and then we're like, oh, there's a rub. 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 on and on. We find like 15 rubs like right there. And we're looking around.
And like good, like
big nice tree the size of like my calf. I mean, tore up.
But also not just rubs, but like as again, like our buddy Paul Patera, who we've had on the podcast before, and you're actually going to hear from him soon, very soon. He talks a lot about like when it comes to rubs, kidders, just rub is like deep gouges.
Yeah.
Which you're getting the gouges. Some people think is like the tines or brow tines. It's not like when they're rubbing like their forehead and the bases are what's rubbing the tree. So when you have a deep gouge, it's showing there's like more trash, like more like short knobs, short little points, whatever on the bases.
Burrs.
And that's what's tearing up. And a lot of times that's a characteristic. It seems like very commonly across the board or more of a characteristic of an older deer than what you'll find with a younger buck.
I'll tell you what, dude. This is a great example. We got three bucks on the wall right here next to us in my house. This top one, and I wish the listeners can see this. The top one and the bottom one, those are both younger deer. The middle one's an older buck. If you look at the two younger deer, they're like their antlers are just smoother, especially around the bases. If you look at that older one, he's just got burrs and like his bases are just a lot more bumpy. And he's got that kind of stuff on there where you could see if he rubs a tree, you're going to get like those big gouges in that rub where all those little burrs and knobs and rough spots on his bases are going to be like really gouging that tree. And it's not like these little slickhorn bucks that are still, you know, rubbing the bark off of it, but they don't have all that extra stuff down there that's going to like really dig into the meat of that tree and dig stuff out of it. And those are the rubs that we were finding. And that's a good point. It's not necessarily their tines doing those big gouges or anything. It's that trash, for lack of a better term, all that junk around the bottom. So found rubs like that, whip rubs, you name it. And we look up and boom, red oak right there. Big red oak, big tall red oak. First one we've seen
at that elevation
in a long time.
Yeah.
We hadn't seen a red oak in a long time. And there's actually two of them. We look over, there's another one. And we walked through all this area, and we did find some buck sign up higher, but you get down to those two red oaks, and it's like, bam, like covered up. Buck sign all over the place. There's scrapes down there, rubs, and you kind of leave it, and the sign kind of dries up a little bit. And then we went over like this little knob, and we dropped into this nice little saddle, kind of a lower elevation. And we drop into that saddle, and you've got a mix of white oaks, like American white oaks and red oaks. Buck sign down there, too. And an old tree stand, which
I was
going to
say, we found where some old, I mean, God bless this guy who built this thing back in probably the 70s, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
And this old rickety, you know, stand that was like grown to the tree, like wooden stand and everything.
Yeah.
It had like metal pipes going up the tree.
Yeah, screwed metal pipes into the tree for his ladder.
That were like grown to the tree like 3 or 4 inches. And I'm like, man, if that guy put that much effort into like building a stand like in this spot, it's got to be pretty good. And dude, we didn't go 30 yards from there. And there's like, oh, there's a big scrape. Oh, dude, there's some big rubs.
Yeah.
Like, in this one saddle. I'm like, okay, well, you know.
Oh, boy knows what's up.
He was going to put that much effort into it. He's not just going to do it blind. He's going to hunt a spot for 4 or 5 years. Know that, hey, there's a lot of deer coming through here and put that stand up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so that was a great looking spot. A lot of sign in there. And we're pretty confident at this point because now we've been on buck sign pretty consistently for like a long ways. So we're like, okay, I feel like we're starting to figure it out. We cross this creek, and the only way I can describe this is we're on the bottom third of this main ridge system at this point. And there's almost like, I would almost call it like a bench-like thing. It's not a true bench, but it's like a large, like flatter, you know, not even secondary. Like it's like the third ridge that comes off the main ridge. And it's flat, kind of going around the base of the main ridge. And again, this is one of those spots I was thinking, like, this looks interesting. It just looks like natural travel, possibly. And we cross this creek and we hit that. And you want to talk about a great definition of negative terrain. I mean, just void of life. There was no tracks. There was no rubs. There was no scrapes. I mean, it was just like...
abrupt.
Nothing.
Like abrupt from like... being in some sun to nothing.
Yeah. Which is, you know, I wasn't upset about because I'm like, well, this would be good access. The deer aren't in here, clearly.
By the time we're at that point, we're like 6.5 miles in.
Yeah.
Or 6 miles in. And we're like, all right, well, we got to still get back to the truck.
Yeah. So now we're chugging. getting along back to the truck. And yeah, just very, very little deer sign in there. And that was more or less kind of the end of the scouting trip. I mean, at that point, yeah, we were kind of boogieing back to the truck.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's, again, it was interesting, kind of like where we found the sign in correlation, like elevation, some of the trails and tracks and rubs, and just kind of like painting a better picture of like, okay, what do these deer, what does it seem like these deer are doing, especially come the rut when they're traveling and laying all this sign down? Because, I mean, it's still very visible. By the way, also I'll say this, after being up there and like in those mountains, now I understand how like guys that like hunt mountains are like hardcore shed hunters.
Yeah.
So I'm like, dude, like, there were some areas that were just very, very green and lush. It'd be very hard to find sheds, but a lot of it, I'm like, man, I get it. Like, you can definitely shed hunt this stuff. Like, you know, compared to like some of these other places that we hunt where it's just a ton of thickets. That's like, you know, the only place you'd be shed hunting is like in a green field or, you know, in an SMZ.
Yep.
And other than that, like, you're not necessarily busting brush through a pine thicket just to go and hope you like stumble on an antler.
Yep.
So I was like, yeah, you know, there's definitely something to that too.
But yeah, absolutely. So this is a really fun trip. I mean, I had a freaking blast going up through that area and just checking out something new. You know, you get all excited. This is the time of year. You start going and looking at different stuff, and you start building that anticipation for the coming fall. And it's just a great time of year. So yeah, you're gonna hear more about that on the next couple episodes. We got a lot of great guests coming up. Stuff that we've already recorded, been working on. Stuff where we're trying to basically jump out ahead of a lot of these subjects that we're wanting to cover this summer based on, you know, what we think will be really cool to listen to, but also what you guys have said you want to hear about. So we're going to be doing a lot of series. And so some of these series have been in the works actually for a month or more. So be looking out for those. First one drops on Monday. We're really excited about it. We got to do some reviews.
Well, hit it, bro.
Let's see. I think we got one new review.
Yep. Appreciate everybody leaving the new reviews. Not only just a standard 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, but also everybody's leaving us written reviews. So I think, yeah, we got a good, solid new one that just came in that Angel, I'll let you hit. Dude.
Yes, sir. This is from Smitty BUA, May 4th, 2022. Can't wait to use the turkey tips. 5 stars. I just started listening for a few days ago, and I've literally been listening to you guys for 10 hours a day while I operate equipment. Keep up the good work. That is fantastic, man. We really appreciate that. Really appreciate you listening. Really appreciate all you guys listening. One thing that I'll add, too, by the way, we're 882 ratings on iTunes. So if you haven't left one already, if you could go leave us a rating and or a written review, 5 stars on iTunes, massive help to us. We really want to hit 900 before the month of May is over. Hopefully more than that. And the other thing is Apple Podcasts. Apple Podcasts, as some of y'all have probably seen, we are offering ad-free shows now. So if you've heard ads on the show, you know, you hear us with our own ads with whoever we're working with, but also you hear a bunch of random ads probably for like insurance and, I don't know, toothpaste. I don't know what they advertise on there. Those ads are similar to YouTube ads. We kind of talked about this before. It's just we kind of open that up and they run ads on our show. And if you don't want to hear that stuff, all you have to do is subscribe on Apple Podcasts, $1.99 a month, and you don't get any of those ads.
That's $1.99 a month, not $199.
$199 a month.
you get a personal goodnight call every night from Jacob Myers and Andrew Maxwell.
Jacob Myers will call you every night and tell you to have sweet dreams.
For $199 a month.
For $199 a month. So, yeah, if you feel so inclined, go hit that up. That's a big help to us for sure.
$1.99, just clarification, $1.99. But, yeah, appreciate everybody's support there because we already know there's a couple of you guys have already signed up for it, so greatly appreciate that. Helps out the show tremendously. And, again, hey. You know, gets you where you don't have to worry about listening to ads on the podcast. Very smooth transition throughout the show. So, again, you should thoroughly enjoy it. But appreciate that support. And also appreciate everybody who's been listening to this Southern Waters Fishing Podcast.
There it is. Yes, sir.
Crushing it, guys. Absolutely crushing it. Last week we had our best week yet on the podcast download-wise. And just, again, greatly appreciate everybody's been subscribing to the Southern Waters Fishing Podcast. Listen to some of those interviews. And again, like we say every single week on that podcast, you know, our goal is to try to make everybody better anglers. And it's been absolutely fantastic, the feedback from that show so far. So I appreciate everybody's been leaving the reviews over there for the Southern Waters Fishing Podcast. Highly recommend listening to it as well. You know, if you love fishing, especially the summer and everything, highly recommend you go checking over those episodes we get on that series. And again, if you actually subscribe to the ad-free option on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, you actually get not only the Southern Outdoorsman Podcast ad-free, but you also get the Southern Waters Fishing Podcast ad-free.
That is true. That's so a great point.
You know, extra bang for your
double
buck.
Double dipping.
Yeah, a little double dipping there, a little double dip action.
So, yeah, dude, $1 a month for each show, you know, $1.
$1. $1 make you holler. Man, what can you get for a dollar, bro? Does it even have a dollar? You can't get nothing
for a dollar these days, man.
Man.
Nothing. Can't even get a pack of gum for a dollar. Anyways, so yeah, go subscribe to those. And the last thing I'll say again is just stressing the Patreon thing. Patreon, I'm going to have some extra videos up for our Patreon members. They're going to get to go see that. So if you're not a part of Patreon, make sure you go check that out. Or if you are a part of Patreon, just make sure that you're kind of watching that feed and watching for the content that's going to be coming out there here pretty soon. I think that's all I got. You got anything else?
I do not. So yeah, that's pretty much it, man. Appreciate everybody listening to the podcast. Of course, like and subscribe, share it with your buddy. And we'll have to catch you back here on this coming Monday's episode of the Southern Outdoorsman Podcast. And we guarantee you're not going to want to miss it.
No, sir. So y'all stay southern.
Look, last summer, y'all heard us talk a bunch about the Mobile Hunters Expo. It was an incredible event. A bunch of you guys came out to meet us. We got to talk to, I don't even know how many listeners. If you heard all that last year and you're like, dang, that sounded cool. I should have went to that. Here's your chance. You need to make it to this one. It's June 28th through June 30th in Dalton, Georgia. All right. Giving you a heads up here. So go ahead and mark it on your calendar. June 28th through June 30th, Dalton, Georgia is going to be the 2024 Mobile Hunters Expo. We're going to be there. A bunch of our past podcast guests are going to be there. There's going to be seminars. All of the mobile hunting companies are going to be there for you to try out gear before you buy it. It's like the one event of the year where all of the mobile hunter ecosystem just kind of congregates in one place. And Chris and Josh and the guys have done an absolutely phenomenal job putting this thing together over the last couple years. And it keeps getting better every year. So like I said, make sure you come see us. We're going to have a gigantic stack of free stickers to give away to every listener that stops by the booth. And we're going to have merch there to purchase. We're going to be recording podcasts, shooting videos, all kinds of stuff. So like I said, don't miss it. You can head on over to themobilehuntersexpo.com to look at show schedules and dates and go ahead and grab your tickets. So y'all go check it out at themobilehuntersexpo.com.